just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here's your team of debauchery, lovely Lisa.
Yes, because kicking the car always works so well.
I'll try to figure that one out in a minute. Carl?
I just got to know, where can I buy the Chevy Camaro Urban Assault Edition?
Army Surplus.
Oh.
And Scully?
Only a dream like, or only a movie like this can cause you to actually have wet dreams about cars.
Oh, what? You weren't having wet dreams about Shia?
Nope. It was a car.
It's definitely the car. But
which one?
Yes.
There were just so many.
That reminds me, where is RC? They had the RC bikes in the second one. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Transformers Dark of the Moon tonight, which is the third installment of the Michael Bay's trilogy, travels back to 1969's historic moon landing. Yeah, because that actually happened. And when Neil Armstrong and his Apollo 11 cohorts touch down in the Sea of Tranquility to discover what happens, or what appears to be a downed Transformer craft. And I was just kidding about the yeah, that happened thing. It was a conspiracy theorist joke, yeah. Drink. Okay, so let's start out with
you can dislike them. Carl, you're supposed to write them rules out.
Oh, yeah.
To work, Carl. Anyway, like and dislike. Lisa, did this movie make you wet or frigid?
Wet.
Of course it did. It's a movie about disguised machines for practical use.
Who cares about them? I want the cars.
Whatever you gotta call it, that's fine. Scully, wet or frigid?
Actually, frigid. The only thing worth looking at was the cars, and they destroyed or did bad damage to most of them to a point that you were like, no, why are you torturing me? Why?
So, in other words, you're not into machines.
No, I like my machines, but I like them taken care of and kept pristinely well.
Oh, I'm sure you're good at taking care of your machines. Carl, did this
I am.
Oh, that's awesome. Carl, did this movie make you hard or flaccid?
I'm going to go with hard, and I will explain that by saying that, you know, the last two-thirds, three-quarters of this movie are a lot of fun, and, you know, the first part of it, you get to stare at Rosie, so.
That's true. You know, honestly, and to explain a little bit on my like or dislike, I mean, I obviously love staring at Rosie because, well, let's face facts, I didn't get enough of her Victoria's Secrets ads. But also, I'm a guy, which brings out, you know, you've got explosions, you've got machines fighting machines, you got people shooting, you got big aerial maneuvers, you got excellent chase scenes, and you got hot cars. So obviously, I'm going to enjoy this movie. But in retrospect of the first two movies, the first one being awesome, the second one making, you know, great leaps and strides and bettering these movies, the third one, slightly better, but the bounds that they should have made in between movies I just don't think satisfied me. So I'm going to give this about a half staff just because it was a good movie, but it should have been a much better movie.
I'll agree with that, but for different reasons.
Okay. Okay, so, moving into our roundtable. First scene of this movie.
Oh yeah, rewriting history.
Yeah. I love the fact that I say first scene of this movie, then I try to collect my thoughts and I just hear that cricket in the background. That's the greatest. But, ladies and gentlemen, that is not a sound effect. There's an actual cricket sitting on Lisa's window, chirping for me whenever I make a joke.
It's the only one who actually appreciates your jokes, maybe?
Anyway, crickets are intelligent.
Sorry, I just realized where I knew one of the actors in this movie from.
I just thought it was creepy that you just had an orgasm on the air.
No. Those don't sound like that. No, those don't sound like that. I'll come up and show you the difference someday, Scully.
All right.
This cannot.
Because I'm already halfway down there. Why can't I just make the rest
there
of
it is.
There you go.
Location-wise, not like on his person.
Damn.
I'm like, wait a minute. I'm recording from Virginia tonight, so.
Well, she throw at you.
I don't know.
That thing you made it when you were at your first job in here. It hit the floor.
Oh, there it is. I did not realize what the noise was. It was so far off target that I didn't realize she'd thrown something at me. Okay, back to the movie. Drink.
Carl, name as many Transformers as is possible in 30 seconds or less, in alphabetical order.
Oof.
That's not one.
Anyway, back to the movie. We have, rewriting history to make this all about, Autobots technology being stranded on the moon because, well, let's face facts. Given the percentage chance of landing on the moon, given the entire surface of the Earth on a collision course, that's obviously where it's going to happen.
Eh.
Oh, y'all can't see me making the masturbatory motion, but you get the point.
I felt like it was completely unnecessary.
Uh-huh.
For them to have gone back to 1969 and had this happen?
Among many other things, I agree with you on that. I felt like this whole entire first sequence was kind of ridiculous. It really gave me the feeling that it was like, we want you to do another Transformers movie, and Michael Bay is standing there, okay, well, what do you want it to be about? And the writer looks at him and goes, I don't know, make something up.
Yeah.
I mean, it was that bad. It was literally just like, let's throw this in there because we can turn it into a story.
I think at one point they said, hey, wouldn't it be a really cool idea if we actually showed them what Cybertron looked like?
That's cool. And I'm very...
Yeah, well, we've seen it before in his movies, haven't we?
Yeah, I believe so. And I'm very much looking forward to the Fall of Cybertron video game. I believe it just recently came out or it's coming out soon.
I gotta.
Okay, that has nothing to do with this movie, though.
I do have to say, though, as far as the 1969 scenes, the guy they had impersonating Kennedy did a really good job.
That was awesome. That was awesome. But anyway, then you move on. The next thing I got on here is Shyla getting a medal.
Yeah. And aside from the double entendres, and the fact that it's all tied in that it's tied in together with the whole Sam life going to hell, blah.
I mean, honestly, news. We start out a Transformers movie with Sam's life going to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's
exactly.
It's already.
Yeah, and it's tired and. It felt really, really out of place there.
The only part I enjoyed was the fact, okay, this is where he meets this chick.
Yeah, I get that. And who doesn't? I mean, honestly, moment of silence, because that ass was just too much. Moment's over.
Pox, but I hear him talk, and then I hear it in my headphones.
Yeah. Now, the echo is somehow coming from your computer.
Well, all I can say is, obviously, her ass was so nice it knocked out my internet when I mentioned it.
Yeah, that white dress was just gorgeous.
Holy yeah.
Yeah.
That white dress would have looked good on anybody's floor.
Everything she wore would have looked good on anybody's floor.
Hell, she would look good on my floor, I'll tell you that much.
Um,
And the table, and the bed, and the couch.
The bed of the pickup truck, the, you know, whatever.
Yeah. The kitchen bar.
Or just a dressing room.
Hey, and while we're at it, why not give the term entertainment stand a whole new meaning?
I like that one. That was pretty good. Oh, wow. Okay.
Sorry, I was making a statement when you got cut out, and I do not remember, and I cannot remember the name of the movie. It's now I do. The beginning of this movie reminded me a lot of the beginning of Cocktail.
You know, I can see that.
Running around looking for a job, and nobody's you know, giving him an in. But it really felt out of place here.
Okay,
but that's
I'm
what it was. It was
right
very
now.
Reminiscent of Cocktail.
I just want to say I'm scared as hell right now because now I just saw Shia LaBeouf in the remake of Cocktail.
No. Cut that. That is edited because that was never said. Because if someone heard it and thought it was a good idea, they were wrong.
Oh.
So we need to prevent them from ever hearing it and ever thinking that.
I'm scared.
We're going to have to just cut out everywhere where you said, oh, so
yeah.
There's this movie that I forgot about. Oh, yeah, Cocktail. We're going to have to cut all that out.
No, we'll just have to cut out Rod's whole thought. Because hopefully nobody else will have that thought.
Oh, no, somebody will draw the lines paralleling, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Shia and Cocktail, because it was
mentioned. No.
Okay, let's move on to the movie.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf does not mix well with anything else, you know. Remakes of Tom Cruise movies, Indiana Jones.
no, that's not true.
I'm debating on if I want to make this point because Lisa's obviously wanting to keep moving, but I loved him in Constantine and iRobot. Okay, I admit it.
Wait, he was in iRobot?
Yeah, he was the kid that couldn't stop cussing.
I don't remember that in iRobot, but okay.
Anyway. Moving on. What's next?
let's see. We have
a job.
Yeah, we have him getting a job.
Oh god. Okay, love the interview montage though. And I'm not a big fan of montages. But I love this. I thought it was hilarious. Especially when he makes the comment about I have a medal from the president, and the guy looks at it and goes, "Yeah, we're mainly Republicans in this office, so."
Mm-hmm.
And the reason
I also like the you have 30 seconds to impress me. Go.
I like that.
What,
but the reason the Republican thing was so funny to me is because I am a Republican, but I can laugh at myself. And they really are like that now. It's like, mm-hmm. Who cares if it's a medal from the president? It was a Democrat president.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really is that bad now.
Yep. Oh,
I like looking at all of the office backgrounds.
Yes.
And you could actually see, ironically enough, that they all had pretty much the same computer monitor going throughout the entire thing.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Acer funded all the computers.
And I will give John Malkovich credit for being for really good makeup, because I did not realize who he was or who it was. I knew I recognized him, but I couldn't place him until I saw the cast list.
Is that the one that I kept saying, who is that guy?
Yeah, the boss that eventually hires him. It's John Malkovich.
That's Cyrus the Damn
what
Virus.
Where do we know him from?
Yeah, Cyrus the Virus from Con Air.
Oh, yeah.
He's the Russian in Rounders.
I knew him.
Yeah. And speaking of Rounders, we're going to see another Rounders alum before too much longer.
And just for the record, I just have to say this. Okay, Mr. Son of a Bitch. Let's play Mattel toys. I couldn't help it.
God, we need to buff that movie now that it's on streaming.
Oh, we really do. Anyway, okay, so he gets the job, and the guy is, like, so freaking anal OCD, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, flipping out.
At this point, you realize there are, like, major other actors being just dropped left and right. Like, every time you were looking around, it's like, oh my god, he's from, oh my god, she's from.
Yeah.
Ridiculous at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody clamored to be in this one.
Yeah. They needed the money. Even Buzz Aldrin was in this movie.
That's true, which was kind of awesome.
Yeah, I did like that one.
Although I still had another "you're supposed to be dead" moment in that situation, but whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, isn't he dead now?
Buzz Aldrin? I don't know.
No, there was, it was another famous astronaut.
Oh, it was, Neil Armstrong, I think.
Yes. Yep. He, and just very recently, like,
yeah, like last month. It was August 25th. So, like, 3 weeks ago. Rest in peace, Neil.
Rest in peace, Neil Armstrong.
Who can't deliver a scripted line to save his life, but...
Jeez.
Sorry.
No, Buzz Aldrin is still alive.
It's been over 40 years, but I'm still going to give him crap.
Oh.
Does anybody here other than me know that joke?
I think I've heard it and had it explained to me at some point, but I don't remember.
Okay. Neil Armstrong lands on the moon, sets foot on the moon for the first time in human history, is supposed to deliver the line, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind," drops the A.
Oh, no.
Just says, and gives, you know, what we all know now, "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind," which changes the whole meaning of the sentence to where it makes no sense. And then spent the rest of his life claiming that he had actually said it and there was a communications glitch.
Jeez.
Which is not true.
Buzz Aldrin is, at this point, still alive. He is 82 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah. And speaking of people who need to rest in peace, we definitely need to, Michael because Clark it's our Duncan. First time, recording, we need to say rest in peace, Michael Clark Duncan.
Oh, man. One of the greatest Hollywood actors of all time.
Yeah. One of the definitely one of the greatest character actors.
Oh, my God. One of my favorites. I know that much. I've liked Michael Clark Duncan since I first saw him in The Green Mile, which was the first thing I ever saw him in. I will never, ever forget his scene in The Scorpion King where he takes on The Rock. That was hilarious. And the guy had some of the best sense of humor ever.
And was the best thing to happen to the movie Daredevil.
Yeah. As well as The Finder. Also, that show will rest in peace.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, and we can rest that show in peace.
It's canceled. Which is sad if you've seen the finale. It left a lot hanging.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely didn't know they were getting canceled.
I think his heart attack this summer had a lot to do with that show getting canceled.
Yeah.
Probably. He was really young, but he's such a big guy that a heart attack is really just sort of that on symptom of, all right, we got more problems that we really need to focus on, but really couldn't. It was kind of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But.
Okay.
You will definitely be missed.
Yeah. Drink to those who have fallen, and drink once for us getting distracted. But.
So those.
It was a good distraction.
Yeah.
Okay. Basically, after that, you finally have the whole. This our Autobots finally doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from just being little weird smoking. Yeah, it really was a while before you had a decent action scene in this.
Well, although I do have to say that the invasion of the Middle Eastern nuclear site, uh-huh. I loved them coming through the gate.
Yeah.
With Dino morphing as he plants his hand down on the surface and just flips around right in front of him.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
Lisa had made the mistake of looking down to write something at that point, and I'm like, oh, wow, that was sweet. She looks up and goes, what? And I was like, okay, hang on.
You gotta see
it back.
Let me rewind that. Yeah, I love the way that worked out. I love the fact that the Autobot technology was in Chernobyl.
Eh, I didn't. And that was another one. No, I didn't.
That was a pet peeve for me, too. I was just not cool with it.
Yeah, and that was one of those things that was only possible because they went back and, you know, rewrote the whole space race and, you know, that therefore they could bring it in there, but I really didn't like it. Like I said, this movie could have done much better without rewriting history.
I agree, but and maybe it's just my obsession with the whole concept of Chernobyl. Maybe that's it. I enjoy seeing any movie that I can get a scene there. And so.
Now, am I mistaken, or were they treating in this movie Chernobyl like our Area 51?
No. What it was is they were trying to claim that the nuclear accident that resulted in the meltdown of the Chernobyl power plant was actually the result of them attempting to use Autobot technology that they had salvaged from the moon.
Ah. Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly pleased with that one, considering the massive disaster that happened from Chernobyl,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that even currently it's got some major, well, not horrible, but it's still got radiation issues.
Yeah, it's still like, uninhabitable, as far as I know.
Yeah,
well, even in the movie they said that you needed a radiation suit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can, depending on where you are, and it really depends on a whole lot of variables, you can go there and not have lethal levels of radiation, but you'll still get cancer from it. You just can't go near the sarcophagus at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't go near where the actual, like, ground zero was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was in April of 86, which is how many years ago?
26.
Yeah, 26. Thank you.
Says the math major. Okay. Sorry, now that we're way off topic on Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Speaking,
we're just trying to make sure our audience gets good and drunk by the time I do rants.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will point out that the only nuclear power plant incident to ever rival Chernobyl in scale is the Fukushima power plant problem that they had after the Japanese earthquakes and tsunami last year. And those are the only two level 7 nuclear events that have happened in our history.
Okay, now can we get back to the movie?
Yeah, and the Fukushima plant was a whole lot better and better handled.
Yeah. All right, sorry, Sidewinder. We're here.
Yeah.
We got it.
It's been a long day for all of us, and we just can't seem to stay on topic. So I tell you what, why don't you just go ahead and get the bottle, forget the glass, because this is going to be a long night for everybody.
And we're still, you know, at the point where the only thing good about this movie is Rosie Huntington, so.
And pretty pictures. Oh, wait, you already covered that.
Yeah. You know, that gorgeous box.
Yeah.
Careful, we talk about this too much. My internet's going to get a hard-on and drop me again. All right, so moving on.
I actually hit you. Throw that back.
No.
Throw that back so I can do it again.
Well, he's going to need something to be thrown at him. I promise he's going to say something that's going to make me throw something at him. This time I hit him in the ankle.
Transformers, Lisa, go for eyes.
He's not a Transformer, so I don't have to hit the eyes.
Oh, man. Okay, so seriously, then you have the they won't listen to Shyla, so whole thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, which I really hated, too.
Yeah, it's like, what? This guy has been through it twice.
It was more believable than the other shit they had him going through, but I still didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
It brought me up the fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And I'm watching it for the third time going, really? We're going to play this card again?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because this is the U.S. government.
Well, no, I mean, that was the whole movie. Yeah, no kidding. But that was the whole movie is, literally, I've seen this in Transformers 1 and Transformers 2 and now Transformers 3, and apparently we'll see it again in Transformers 4 and Transformers 5 and Transformers 6.
Rod, this is the Michael Bay effect. We got something good the first time, so we're going to rinse and reuse it and give it to him again next year.
Wow, I never realized how much Michael Bay and Madonna have in common.
What, speaking of things that have been rinsed and reused too often?
Exactly. Madonna, the
speaking of things that need to be retired.
Oh.
Are we still talking about Michael Bay or I can't even say it. I can't bring myself to say it. I can't. Okay.
Sorry, I'm looking at pictures of Rosie Huntington going, speaking of things that need to be reused.
There are things I would do to her that are illegal in 12 countries, and that includes Amsterdam. That's not funny, Carl.
Okay, for the record, guys, I'm going to be beating Carl black and blue later.
Whatever gets you up.
In every spot except one.
Well, it's a bodism kind of night.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's a bodism kind of night.
And, Rod, I'm just thinking there are things I would do to that woman that would give the founders of the Mormon Church heart attacks. And now Lisa's going to go over here and hit me.
I heard the microphone go down. We're like, and here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, the severe beating of a podcaster.
And then there were...
Do you realize the listeners actually get on here to hear us, like, make quotes and ask questions about the movie, but truthfully, they get on here to listen to our back and forth during roundtables and listen to us get distracted.
Yeah, I think they get on here just to listen to Lisa slap me.
That's what I, why
those
I get on.
Those are things to make me slap you, and you won't have to worry about that.
Yeah, and then our listener audience will drop to zero again.
Exactly. Anyway. Where were we at in the movie? Won't listen to him. Then they have the training hall, and I actually really like the training hall.
Yeah.
I did not like the training hall scene. I didn't like the back and forth with the characters, but I liked the actual setup.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Is it just me, or is that like a reused kind of setup, though? Because I just, like earlier this weekend, watched the Ark of the Covenant, and I looked at this training hall, and then I looked at the Nazi underground, like, tunnel, and it seemed to be the same kind of plan. And I'm sitting here going, so how many movies have these big, long, like, airplane hangars, and then they proceed to run the camera down the length of the airplane hangar while they've got all of this prop stuff going on and all of this scaffolding going on? So there's these two levels of scaffolding and the camera's running down the end so that you can only have all these conversations going down the long way of this big, long cement floor airplane hangar.
Yeah. And Scully, I just have one question. I'm just going to answer that with one question. What are movie studios made from?
Yeah.
As far as I know, though, as far as reusing scenes, there's only one I know of that was reused from another movie, and the entire, like, literally the whole scene, the whole filming was reused with the Transformers superimposed into.
That wasn't this one. That was the second one.
That was this one. Look it up.
Was it this one? Okay. I was thinking that was the second one, but I couldn't remember. I remember hearing about it.
It's the scene on the freeway when they're chasing each other, and there's a sign that goes, like, flies by.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually a scene from, I'll look it up, it's from another movie.
It's from another Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
It's one of his lesser known
and
ones.
And because of the fact that there were filming constraints and they needed this scene, he reused it and superimposed the Transformers into it.
Yeah.
So I don't like that at all, but it is what it is.
Yeah. I'm less offended by that than I am by the first quarter of this script, so.
Yeah, literally, like, the first quarter, as you said, could be just chopped off of this movie and it'd be fine.
Mm.
It was a whole lot of, and it's a 2.5 hour long movie. It's not like they couldn't, you know, afford it.
Yeah.
God, the amount of people who tried out for the female lead in this movie. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm echoing really bad again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because I'm tired, but I sound really gay.
No, it's not because you're tired.
Ooh, I'm such a bitch.
Okay. Right. So where were we? We got Frances McDormand blows off Sam again.
Yeah. Again and again and again. And the only time she actually listens to him is when he doesn't want her to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is it not? I hate tropes in this movie.
I really think Michael Bay was using this to take pot shots at the army or at the military and the government in general.
I mean, it's not even just that. It's this movie is so ridiculously cliche and overdone. And do you see my point when I said that I was at half staff because the visuals were nice, but
yeah, and like I said, the whole first quarter of this plot just sucks.
Okay, so let's move on into the second quarter.
Oh, well, wait a minute, because we do have to deal with the Asian dude.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it. I like him in everything I've ever seen him in. I liked him. He's just hilarious. He really is funny.
I like him in Community. That's where I first saw him was in Community, and it was just like a great starting point for him. Yeah, and he's gone crazier since then.
The first time I ever saw him was... Role Models. And he creeped me the hell out in that movie. And then I saw him again in, like, all kinds of movies like that. But in this one, he really just goes off the deep end.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry.
He kind of closely resembled this with the Hangover movies, though. Like, that was something that sort of disappointed me, was this character was so in line with those Hangover movies that I felt like he probably just finished recording that last Hangover movie and jumped straight into this, or was doing it simultaneously. Like, there was so much of an overlap in character that it wasn't even funny.
They both did come out the same year, so it's possible that he was doing them both. And I just gotta say, please dear God, why are they making a Hangover 3? Oh yeah, because Hangover 2 made money.
Okay, so basically, all I can say about the Asian guy is, if somebody pinned me down in a... stall and started pulling stuff out from between his legs, I would fight back a whole lot harder.
Yeah.
Like, I was getting the feeling that Shia really wanted this guy.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to appear that way. And also, to comment on your whole actors playing the same character in this movie as they do in other movies, I just now found this trivia note. It goes for a character that's later on in the movie, but it says in 2011, Alan Tudyk told Empire Magazine that his character for 28 Days, the gay German performance artist, Gerard, was the same character as the one Tudyk later played in this movie. I decided that it's the same guy. He had gotten out of rehab, got himself on the right track, then entered the army, became a specialist, found that he had skills in computers and weapons, then he got burned out after too much killing and just decided to become a valet to Agent Simmons. There's a moment where he just goes crazy, and I say, that's the old me. And that was all based on the bullshit idea that it was the same guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
I see that now. I definitely see that. And who else hates Patrick Dempsey? Nobody?
Chuck, but he doesn't actually have a line.
Yeah.
Okay, I missed a lot of that. I apologize, my internet hates me.
That's okay, we stopped talking. I went to start, and then you dropped, so I froze it. Lisa was at one point when we were going over this movie, considering giving Alan Tudyk the River Tam Award.
Wow.
Because she said he felt like he felt like Alan Tudyk impersonating River Tam.
I could see that.
Yeah. I kind of agree with her, but having seen Alan Tudyk do so many different things, I didn't see it. I didn't really buy it so much.
You know, I honestly do not have an opinion there.
Yeah.
One way or the other, to be honest. Yeah. I just want to say, who else hates Patrick Dempsey? Like, I just don't like this actor at all.
Who is that?
He played the human spy for the Decepticons.
Oh, yeah.
He plays in Grey's Anatomy. I just don't like him.
This is the only time I can remember actually seeing him in a movie, and I didn't like this character.
Yeah, I didn't like the character, but I don't dislike him, I don't think.
Him personally, I don't dislike, but him as an actor. Like, professionally, I can't stand him. I've never liked a character he's played. I've never believed anything he's ever played. I mean, it's almost like he's like, hey, Dylan McDermott did it. I want to be him.
No, I really haven't seen a whole lot of his stuff, so I really can't give you an opinion on him. I do know something that I really liked him in. I liked him in With Honors.
Okay, that one I'll give you.
Yeah, he was really good in that one.
But that was before he got famous.
Yeah.
You know, after he got famous, I mean, seriously, go watch a couple episodes of Grey's Anatomy and don't tell me he's not, like, a Dylan McDermott wannabe. Which, honestly,
I'd have to be able to watch a couple of those.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I would do Susan O. I'm just saying.
Rod?
Huh?
You would do a bull mastiff if she would hold still.
Well, they are wiggly. I did not say that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, you did, and we have it recorded.
Yeah. The recorder went out right at that moment. Oh, no.
Nope. Hey, guys, ringtone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, not right. Not right at all. I'm going to, I'll see y'all next week.
Yes. No, because the fans are wanting Rod's rants.
Yep.
That's true. The Rod's rants that I've actually been writing as we've been talking. How sad is that?
Yeah. It's been one of those weeks.
It's definitely been one of those weeks. At least it wasn't like last week. I worked till like midnight half the week.
Mm-hmm.
No offense, Scully.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So what do we still have left in this movie? Literally, I'm gone.
We are just now to the point, I think, where they wake up.
Here's what I say we do.
Sentinel Prime.
They woke up Spock.
Yeah, they woke up Spock.
Wait, we're doing Star Trek 2?
No. Yes. Actually, that'd be Star Trek 4.
No.
Any one of them. They would all be just as fantastically great.
Star Trek 3, I think, is actually Search for Spock. 4 is Voyage Home. Drink.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, 4 is Voyage Home.
In which case, it's Star Trek. Star Trek 2 is Wrath of Khan, and 3 is Search for Spock.
That's right. Drink. Okay, so they wake up Spock, and he tells us to live long and prosper and go fuck ourselves. And you know what? Yeah. Here's what I say we do in this roundtable, because we have taken a lot of time. I say we just skip to the battle scene, because everybody else who's watching this movie already did. So.
Yeah, seriously, if you're watching this, you have been like, oh, cool, it's Spock. Oh, he's on the other side. That sucks. Well, at least there's a good fucking in Chicago.
Yeah.
Question mark.
Hey, I will now, because you asked this question before, I will now tell you why Chicago. Okay? Okay, I'm going to name off some movies, and you think of all the times they've been completely destroyed in a movie. L.A.
Okay.
New York.
Which time?
Uh-huh. That's my point. Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Okay. How many times have you seen Chicago get messed the fuck up?
The Chicago fire.
Exactly. Not many disasters are set in Chicago. Michael Bay actually had the grand idea to completely demolish something that we hadn't touched in movies yet.
Well, if you really wanted to throw something
Hadn't touched it, though? There's something there.
If you really wanted to throw something in the mix, why not St. Louis or Little Rock? Because, I mean, seriously.
Dallas. When was the last time we destroyed Dallas?
Hey, we destroyed
that
Dallas.
Was worth doing?
Actually, Dallas was destroyed. We got to see. No, wait, that was Houston. I was going to say Dallas got destroyed in Independence Day, but we actually got to see Houston get destroyed. And then nuked.
And there's also Tulsa.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But
real life, please.
But Chicago is one of the major American cities that never gets touched.
Miami, any of those Florida ones. Can we do just anybody in Florida?
Even Miami's gotten toasted or gotten, you know, messed up a couple of times.
So throughout this entire scene, the entire battle in Chicago, I had two thoughts up until the very last part. One, the whole building falling apart while you're in it scene was awesome.
Yeah.
And that's also not the way that would work. But
no, it really made me want to go back out and watch all of those Las Vegas scenes where you get to see them blow up all of the old Las Vegas casinos. I was like, now I want to go watch some footage of Las Vegas casinos get blown up.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's way more accurate and way more fun.
Well, that's, you know, when they... That is when they go in and set shape charges so that the building implodes and falls down in on itself. This is what happens when you start shooting a glass skyscraper, you know, about four floors up or so, and, you know, just shoot the fuck out of it until the weight of the top of it tilts the fucking thing over.
Well, my other thought throughout this entire battle scene is, I really want one of those flying squirrel suits. Really want it. Like, I know a few cliffs I would have a blast on.
Yeah.
Those things had some impressive distance. I mean, I knew they do have some really good, like, 120, and you can get those things to go really far depending on the height you jump from.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty sure for this movie over-exaggerated that just a little.
Yeah.
Movies exaggerate everything just a little. Probably
by, like, 15 minutes.
The thread the needle scene, I thought, was the most egregious of that.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually surprised. I expected to see some guy get taken out by a rod or something, some metal scaffolding go through him kind of deal. I was like, any day now? No? Oh, I'm let down.
Yeah. Everybody who listens to this show wants to see somebody get taken out by a rod. Even Rod wants to.
Hey, I plan on taking myself out effectively right after this show.
Do what, Lisa?
The thread the needle scene may have been an exaggeration,
mm-hmm.
but it was still really cool. Even mm-hmm. the guy that yelled really loud because he hit something.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see what he hit, though.
No. Okay, and then we got all that, and out of this battle scene, who really liked the sliding down the outside of that building?
I didn't.
You did?
That was so horribly inaccurate as to what happens when you slide down glass.
Yeah, I agree. I still think it was kind of a cool scene.
Ow.
They would not have been screaming in fear. They'd have been screaming in pain.
Yeah.
Their pants should have been completely worn out. I don't care if you were wearing, like, the only thing that would have made that would have been steel-toed boots.
She wasn't wearing pants. She was wearing a dress.
Oh, and the skin, like, watching them.
Her legs should have looked like a cheese grater.
Mm-hmm. Girls sympathize with other girl pain. Like, if you have to slide down something wearing a skirt on glass, we're all sitting here going, oh, ow, oh, ow.
And what is the deal in this movie with, like, the female interest at the very end doing some stupidly brave move to save the day?
Yeah.
Like, I really wonder how many times Shia LaBeouf has been metaphorically kicked in the balls by his women. And then I start to wonder how many times he's been literally kicked in the balls by his women.
Yeah, well.
But it led to an epic three-way Transformer fight.
That was cool.
Any better.
But one problem I had with this is after the Autobots come in to save the day and everything, this movie, like, got incredibly gruesome. Like, you've got all-out, like, assassination-style killing. Mm-hmm. And
you rip a guy's head off, and his spine goes with it.
Yeah, you've shoot a guy on his knees and his head blows apart. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if this was people it would have never gotten on screen.
Oh, yeah,
and you ripped an arm off.
And speaking of, if this was people, who loved the exploding people?
Oh my god! I was so shocked that they did that. I was like, no way were they going. Oh my god, they did it!
Yeah. The first couple of times I saw it happen, I was like, wait, was that a person? And then they show another scene of it, I'm like, holy shit, that's awesome!
I guess I missed that.
Like, when the Decepticons first started assaulting Chicago, when they first started the strike, and they were just tearing the city apart, they were shooting fleeing civilians with whatever bullets it is the Decepticons use, and it was causing the impact was causing the bodies to literally vaporize, it wasn't getting shot with a ray gun and they vaporize. It was they vaporized explosively.
Wow, I do remember that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, you have the final moment with Optimus Prime and Sentinel Prime, and it's like begging for mercy, and it's like, screw you. Boom.
Yeah. Sorry, but going back to the exploding people thing, the only thing that was going through my head when I realized that they were actually blowing people up was, wow, and Geneva says that you can't use a 50 cal against people. For mostly the same reason, although to a lesser extent.
Jeez.
Okay, but yeah, so then we get, Optimus takes out Megatron, takes out Sentinel, and it's the end of the movie.
Yep.
Pretty much.
This movie really had so much filler.
Who really cares about talking heads?
Yeah, that's such a good thing to say going into an election. Nothing? Nobody?
Yeah. I appreciated it.
Okay. Well, at least I got that.
I didn't even realize that's how it came out.
Okay. I started thinking of the actual song. The Days Go By. Yeah, that one. All right.
And all I can say about this entire movie, though, is at least in the credits, can you finally give me some You've Got the Touch? I'm waiting on it, man. I'm waiting on it. Three movies down, I've still not heard it.
Well, if you want to hear that one, go listen or go watch Phenomenon.
Forget that, man. I want to go back and watch the original cartoon because, let's face facts, it's still better than Michael Bay's abortion that is the third Transformers.
It's better than Michael Bay's trilogy.
I like the first one. I mean, I'd say it's right on par.
Mm.
But seriously, the best way to screw up a franchise is to put Michael Bay in charge of all of them.
Yeah.
Or M. Night Shyamalan, but that's beside the point. Oof. Oh, God, I just thought of M. Night Shyamalan doing a franchise. I'm having the worst ideas today.
Yes, you are.
Oh.
You are hereby banned from thinking.
And yeah. The sad part is every one of them would star Joaquin Phoenix and Mel Gibson.
Oh.
Okay, Rod, stop thinking. Please.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to give me nightmares.
I'm going to stop thinking, and we're going to move on into Best Buffed. So who wants to start out? Let's see.
We're moving on to quotes first.
Okay, Lisa apparently wants to do quotes first tonight. So we'll move into quotes.
Who's on the list next?
Oh, I don't. I switch, interchange those two constantly, to be honest with you. But, okay, so Lisa, since you're apt for quotes, you want to start us off with your buff quote?
You can keep watching him, but he's not going to... He's not getting up. You all read Humpty Dumpty.
I liked that one.
I didn't read Humpty Dumpty. But I did watch...
No, but you heard the nursery rhyme.
True. And by the way, they're all about people breaking and people getting eaten, and there should be a rating system. Anyway, okay, Scully, keep it with the women.
All right, this is the aw shit. I've seen this one. It's the one where Spock goes nuts.
Wait, that's your quote?
Yeah.
That was my quote. That was from Wheelie was actually watching one of the old Star Trek movies.
Old yeah. Star Trek episode, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
What's funny is that that's actually interchangeable. According to the trivia, it says that quote is interchangeable if you replace Spock with Sentinel Prime. Does anybody... Okay. Carl, quote. Oh. Apparently we have lost feed here.
My router is head.
Laser beak.
Do what?
My router is laser beak. It hates me. It's trying to keep us from doing a review on Transformers.
No, no, no. Your router is your router was made by a company that is owned by Michael Bay.
And that is entirely possible.
It works about as well.
Yeah. Oh. Oh.
1-star review from Michael Bay.
And Michael Bay fans. Unfortunately, Michael Bay fans are like Lord of the Rings fans. They're freaking uber nerds that just think that he's God.
Yeah. Well, wait.
And
no.
What does that say about us being...
No, Rod. Uh-huh. Rod. Michael Bay fans and Lord of the Rings movie fans are uber nerds with no taste.
Exactly.
We are uber nerds with taste.
Because remember, there's only one return, and it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Uh-huh. And there is only one Matrix movie.
Exactly.
No, there really is only one Matrix movie.
Thank God.
I'm so glad they didn't try and make any more of them.
Yeah, those would have sucked.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can't put Keanu Reeves in sequels. It just doesn't work.
You can't even make sequels of Keanu Reeves movies without Keanu Reeves in them. It still doesn't work.
Yeah. Okay, Carl.
Okay. I had several because I kept finding really good quotes in this movie, as terrible as I think parts of it were. But I'm going to go with my all-time favorite. It's a Cyrillic alphabet. It's like all the buttons you never push on a calculator. 1-star reviews from Russians.
1-star reviews from people who use calculators.
The bad part is that...
1-star reviews from Russians who use calculators.
The bad part is Scully just gave us a 1-star review.
Yeah.
That's upsetting, actually. Okay, so I'm just going to move into my buff quote because Carl's is so conflicting. Who wants some chicken dinner now, bitch? Huh? Because somebody messed with the wrong Wang today. I just love the little head roll thing that he does.
And I'm just I'm just going to throw this in there for you, Rod. That's what she said.
Oh, I really stepped in it this time. That's actually what she said. Don't think too hard on it.
Okay. I'm guessing we're moving into best buff now?
Yeah, let's move into best buff before I step in it again.
Our audience to get drunk?
Carl.
Mm-hmm.
Best buffed.
Okay. This movie is actually getting more awards than I believe I have given any movie that we have reviewed to date. As sad as that sounds. This gets... Okay, first of all, we have Shockwave with the Japanese Tentacle Porn Award. Seriously, I think I saw him in some of those animes. We are giving the character of Jerry Wang the anime award for token creepy Asian guy.
Token I'm sorry.
We are giving Optimus Prime the Monty Python's Black Knight Award.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as the It's Only a Flesh Wound. And we are giving Sam Witwicky, which is a terrible, terrible name, we are giving him the Trading Up Award for Carly.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just want to point out that Sam Witwicky is actually Spike's real name from the original series.
I know, but that Witwicky is such a terrible last name.
It really is. I also want to point out that I do have a problem with one of your awards.
Which one?
I get the Black Knight Award reference, but instead of it's only a flesh wound, I honestly think it should be it's only superficial detail damage.
Moo.
Everybody laughed at it, though.
Yeah.
All right.
But what, well, you think, like, what do you think? They need some Bondo?
All seem looking for ammo. Like, oh my god, I have to go get that. Like, yui.
All I'm saying is they're going to be standing there staring, and they're going to look at the guy and say, go to the medic. They're going to look at the transformer and say, go to the body shop. Mm. I can see this happening. That joke should have been in the movie. As cheesy as some of them were, that would have worked. Okay, Lisa, best buffed.
I am going to give this 2. One for the world's biggest pileup when they were chasing down whatever that was.
The obligatory action movie road chase scene?
Yes. And I am giving it the world's greatest 8 seconds. Stay on that for 8 seconds.
Yeah. I'm in, what is it, Linux.
I'm sorry, you said stay on that for 8 seconds, and I kind of zoned out to Rosie again. And I'm not making a joke. Like, I cannot get that ass out of my head. Mm. It's hard to concentrate with Miss...
Wow, that's a callback. In my head. No, it's her fat titties in my face. I can't even remember the teacher's name now.
Either. Miss something. Will you go? I'm remembering the line. Will you go to prom with me? But I can't remember her name. Anyway, I'm sorry. That was bad. I am having a hard time concentrating thinking about that. But okay.
I believe it's Scully's turn.
It is Scully's turn.
Cool. I ironically enough only have one award for this movie, and it is the Muppet Show for the largest number of already well-known actors just showing up to do a small bit and then leaving.
Yep.
Okay. I agree with that.
And it was Miss Davis.
Miss Davis, thank you. Okay, my awards. Number one, cheesy line delivery award. This had some of the cheesiest line deliveries I've ever seen in my life. It's like, you can't live without me. Let's find out. I mean, really? Nobody.
I'll give it that.
Yeah. It had some good quotes, but it also had some cheesy lines.
Some and it's not even the lines themselves. It was the delivery that was horrible. But anyway.
It's one of the... some of those lines you look at going, what the fuck is that?
From many to one. I didn't want to betray you. How could you betray me? I know, I'm like channeling Arnold here. But, anyway, okay, I'm also giving, and I'm probably going to get a little bit of resistance here, but I'm giving Malkovich the Creepy Christian Award because he creeped me the fuck out.
Yeah, he really did.
He did. What's weird is I found him creepier than the damn Asian guy.
Yeah. He creeped me out the same way that Christopher Walker creeps me out in some movies.
Yeah, I get that. Christopher Walken.
Walken, yeah.
I get that. And finally, the Asian guy. I don't even know what to call this award, but let's face facts. He was the most eccentric son of a bitch I've ever seen in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And
what'd they do? Hand him the script and tell him to jump off the deep end?
I don't even think they gave him ripped. It was like...
No, I really think it's because he was doing Hangover 3 at exactly the same time. So they're like, here's the script. Yeah, you got a couple of funny lines. He went off script and out into the deep end and was almost exactly like a Hangover character, or was just really excessive.
And this is this is not an award. I just want to give props to Laserbeak for his awesome disguises.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Great. But, okay, moving on into where you playing with your willy. Carl, would you like to start us out?
Sure. Let's see. When in his transformed model, what color is Dino?
Blue? No. Crap, already answered.
Green?
What is one of his lines? Because I don't know the difference between any of them.
Yeah, just sit still.
He's the one that did the flip.
Yeah. When they came through the gate on the...
Oh, okay. Red.
Yep.
Yeah. He is red. I knew it was red, and I'd already answered, so I was like, I'll give everybody else a chance.
Okay. When throwing them out of... what was the name of that? When throwing them out of Simmons' house, how many seconds does Dutch give the TV crew to leave?
30.
Three.
I don't remember at all.
Okay, Rod is too high and Lisa is too low. I'll give you that much, Scully.
10.
23. For some strange reason, he gives them 23 seconds.
That sounds about right, given the character.
Okay. So, all Lisa right. has a point.
Yep. So, Lisa, do you want to ask?
Okay. What date did Sam's parents arrive?
The 8th.
The 11th?
I really don't know. I really don't remember.
Rod's right. It was cut in half from the 22nd.
Oh, okay. I thought they were supposed to arrive on the 11th. I remember
they were supposed
wrong.
To arrive on the 22nd.
Okay.
I have a point. I haven't had a point in like 3 weeks.
What did Dutch call Sam?
At what point?
Vitvicky.
Vitvicky, yeah.
Yep, that would be...
It took me a second Carl to remember.
Right. Yeah, I was trying to... I remember
so
that.
So Carl and Rod each have a point.
Okay.
Wow.
It's a three-way tie.
Scully.
Yeah. So how many years was it from the crash landing on the moon to when we got on the moon?
Three?
Five.
I'm going to go with two.
Nine. There's a little tiny little font in the bottom left-hand corner and totally illegible, but it goes 9 years later.
I was going to say 9, and I was like, no, that can't be right. I'm remembering it wrong.
Really
got to stick with my first thought.
Yeah, that really doesn't work because of something they said later on in the movie.
Oh, I know. That's why it, like, hung on. I was like, wrong.
I always got to remember
the president. The Russians make a statement that one of their satellites went over in, like, 58, and there wasn't anything there, and then they went back over again. And after the moon landing and had pictures.
Yeah.
And the moon landing was in 63.
Yeah.
Yep.
I gotta remember to start paying attention to numbers with Scully around.
Plus, yeah. Kennedy was president from the time it hit the moon until until we landed on the moon, so. Yep.
And on this one, they had switched presidents on you. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah, that was interesting, because they started out with Kennedy as president, and then Nixon was president.
Yeah. So there was a lot of consistency issues in the first one, so that 9 years just stuck out like a sore thumb as you're trying to wrap it up. Mm. So anyway, my second question is, what is the breed of dog that is Rose's and Carly's character? There you go.
Oh.
Yorkie? Oh, no, I remember the dog. Sorry, I had to remember that.
Wait. The only dog I remember
had a dog?
Is... Wait.
The Australian sheep.
No. There was an Irish setter that we see her with, and that's the only dog I remember seeing her with. Unless she had a little puffball at some point that I don't remember. But I remember the Irish setter. Oh. Yeah, because you said that was a really pretty dog.
Okay.
It's her dog. It's the one she has at the apartment. It actually never leaves the apartment.
Oh, okay. Then it's not the Irish setter.
I can see the dog in my head. I don't know the name.
Yeah,
of the
I don't remember the name. I don't remember the name of the breed. They're the ones I call the Golden Dust Mops.
Uh-huh.
Wow, no.
Okay, then I'm completely misremembering the dog.
Yeah. There's a Malamute.
My guess is still the same.
She had a Malamute?
Yeah, had a Malamute.
I don't remember.
Big black face and a short thing. Like, they drool in every single movie they come across. And this is the first movie I was like, oh my god, they actually accurately depict a Malamute. They don't drool that badly.
I don't remember saying it.
I don't remember that being a Malamute.
It comes in soaking wet at one point. Because remember when Wheelie and the other
that dog
come in soaking wet? He comes in soaking wet and shakes all over everything.
But no, that's not a Malamute. That was a boxer It was a boxer mix.
No, boxers have got a very different face to them. The Malamute, this one was the big, heavy, tan color, black face, like classic Malamute breed.
Hmm.
Okay. I was actually surprised it wasn't any bigger. It was something where I kept on going, I think she'd be bigger than the coffee table, but maybe it's just because of how they're shooting it. They're shooting it with a lot of really big furniture because they're trying to make the Transformers seem really big. So there was a whole lot of camera play.
Okay, so it's Rod's turn, and what is that, a three-way tie still?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm almost guaranteed to lose, but I got a point. Okay, Lisa, I'm sorry. A lot of my questions are in reference to the original Transformers cartoons. So,
I'm not going to get any more points.
You might. I'll be quick on the buzzer.
I doubt it.
Okay. What TV show are the Minibots and Sam watching at the beginning of the movie, and what episode is it?
Popeye the Sailor Man. No idea.
No, it's Star Trek, the original series, but I don't remember the name of the episode.
Lisa, you want to take it just a shot?
Nope. I don't even remember them two watching a movie together.
Okay, they never state the name of the episode. If you've never watched it, you won't know it. But even though he says it's the one where Spock's an asshole, it's actually the episode Trouble with Tribbles.
Is it?
Yeah. If you pay attention, it's Trouble with Tribbles.
I don't remember seeing enough of it to know that.
The only reason I know is because he actually picks up a Tribble, and that was the only episode they were ever featured in.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't see the Tribble.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. In this movie, Laserbeak is a flying spy that can become various forms of technology to hide. What were his transformations in the original cartoon, and how was he used?
Oh.
No idea.
Yeah, not a clue.
Yeah, he was used as a spy, but as a spy and assassin, but I don't really remember what he transformed into.
Okay. Well, the answer I'm looking for is he's like a pterodactyl.
Mm-hmm.
That transforms into a tape cassette that gets played in.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the way they use him is he records voices and then he plays them back through Soundwave.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that now.
So literally neither of mine were able to solve the tie.
Oh.
Which means Scully has to come up with a tiebreaker.
Okay. I'm trying to think of a good one. I guess what kind of a museum does Callie work at?
It's a car museum, yeah.
Actually, I heard Lisa shout it out first.
Yeah.
I was going to say it, and I knew it. Which, honestly, I mean, that seems very dangerous, by the way.
Yeah.
What, a car museum?
Working in a car museum, knowing what your boyfriend has gone through not once, but twice.
Huh.
Seems like a bad idea.
I am going to once again argue with Scully's dog question, but this time I have proof that I'm right.
All right.
The breed of dog that they own is a Mastiff.
Yeah.
And we know this because it's played by Bones the Mastiff.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
And the name, also,
the name of the dog is actually Bone Crusher, which is awesome.
And also, for the record, Bone Crusher was the girl, Megan Fox's dog, in the first one, and he kept it in the second one. Yeah. It wasn't hers.
That's right.
I'm just now reading that.
I was looking at the actual cast.
Owned by Michael Bay.
Owned by Michael Bay?
Yeah.
Yep.
Fun.
Oh, he's such a good dog, though. Like, he's really well done.
Mm-hmm.
Alright.
Okay,
well,
so.
Well, Lisa won that one.
Lisa won!
Yep.
Wow!
Congratulations, Lisa! You apparently pay way more attention.
This is the first one in how many weeks?
You apparently pay way more attention to mechanical objects with practical uses. I'm stuck on that.
Okay. Not going to say a word to that.
So, Lisa, guess what you just won?
The ability to ask the audience question first?
That's right.
Or did you give me a cookie?
Well, I do have cookies. Would you like to come get one?
Actually, I don't want cookies. I'm good without cookies.
You would like my cookies.
So not touching that one.
That's funny.
Yeah, something's gone wrong.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're recording. I'm glad that the time between us recording and us posting is so short because Rod doesn't have time to edit out all of his own
follies.
all of your, well, no, not all of your own follies, but all of your own ringtones.
That's true. And by the way, just to touch on what you said there, that really is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so, audience question.
Mm-hmm.
When the Decepticons first invade Chicago, one of the first few through, you see one of them take a picture of a vehicle. What vehicle was it?
Rodimus Prime. Yes. Why wasn't that one in there? I loved Rodimus Prime.
Uh-huh.
I'm just a big Judd Hirsch fan. Anyway. Okay, see, Carl, you were practically second, so go ahead.
And fortunately for Rod, I used this for my audience question. What arm does Optimus lose in the battle?
It was his third one. All right. Scully.
So during the battle scene, what division of military comes in as backup?
I remember which one it was, but I'm not saying it.
Yeah.
All
right. And as for my audience question, what is the, according to this movie, what is the Asian equivalent to the Watergate informant?
That was terrible.
That was the greatest joke in the whole damn movie.
It was so terrible.
It was, but it was awesome. Okay. So moving on, Lisa, you have also, just for the record, InTheBuffFilms@gmail.com. Send in your answers. Has anyone checked today? I checked yesterday. I didn't see anything.
I checked this morning. I hadn't seen anything.
Definitely send in your answers. We've got some new stuff coming soon. And, of course, our same offer still goes. If you answer any or all correctly, you'll get your name mentioned on the air and possibly get a Skype call in order to give your props. So, moving on, Lisa, you have also earned the right to mental debuff first. Congratulations, by the way.
I'm just impressed that I got one. I won one.
Yeah.
Yes, this movie is a rehash of the first two. But I really did enjoy the cars and some of the special effects that they did. So all in all, I will still watch this movie again.
Don't get me wrong, there's not a single car or female in this movie that I don't want to have my babies. Nothing? Crickets again? Did I mute my mic?
And Carl asked the question and I just popped off with it.
Wow. That was probably really interesting, but I cut off with you saying that you like watching the cars and you'd watch this movie again, and then I made a comment.
But yeah, you started to make the comment and that's where you fell off.
Yeah, I was gonna actually say that there's not a single car or female in this movie that I don't want to have my babies.
What about the what's her name? Frances McDormand.
I'd still do it. I mean, I'd have to plug my nose, but I'd still do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wasn't the cutest thing in the world.
What about Mrs. Witwicky?
Run away.
Respect.
No.
Run away.
Respect.
Run away.
Okay, I'm done. Anyway, Carl, you have to ruin a good moment here.
Yeah.
All I can say is Rosie.
You've accused Carl of that before.
Dude, seriously?
Yep.
I could have sex with some pretty nasty things as long as I've got the image of Rosie in my head. I'll be okay.
Seems like you've done that before.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, we're not going to start talking about X again.
I was just about to say, drink, reference to X. All right.
Okay, who's next?
So, next, Carl, you came in second.
Okay, yes, remember that Michael Bay did this. Suffer through the first quarter, or turn off your brain, suffer through the first quarter, and then just enjoy the other three quarters of this popcorn flick.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
That's how you watch Transformers 3.
I should have given you rants tonight.
Nah.
Yours made more sense than what I wrote down.
Oh, dear.
Scully. Scully.
My mental debuff actually seconds that of Lisa, like, word for word.
Okay. So we'll skip that, then. I was just kidding. If you really do have something to say, go ahead.
No, that was literally it. I was like, nope, that's it.
Scully, just for the record, I'm going off topic here for just a second, but I was watching an episode of How I Met Your Mother the other day, and the character Robin reminds me of you a lot. In fact, even down to the point of the obsession with saying literally with everything.
Yeah, I have different verbal tics depending on who I'm talking to.
Fair enough.
So you guys get literally, my husband has another phrase, like everybody has different phrases that I use with them.
Fair enough. I wasn't complaining. I'm just saying that if you get a chance, watch that show, because the character Robin and you have a lot in common, except that she's Canadian.
And now I'm just curious to hear what her verbal tic is with her husband.
Yeah, no, you don't want to know.
Gulp. Anyway.
I'm pretty sure that's not it, Rod.
Fair enough.
I'm pretty sure
he'd
like it
to be. Do that anymore.
Oh.
Okay, does that mean it's time for Rod's rant?
I do believe that's what time it is. Okay, so I'm starting out Rod's rant with just this simple thought. Shyla needs a gun. Autobots are on the run. Okay, I'm stopping there at that. But he really does need a gun. I swear, why doesn't he have one surgically implanted on his palm at this point? And by the way, I want a Jufro, because seriously, it seems like the guys with Jufros always get hot chicks. And let's have a moment of silence for and awe for that gorgeous ass. Okay, now that's over. So, Freaky Malkovich, Deep Wang, and Impractical Machines that look like something else. So, screw it. 2-hour movie, 20-second rant, don't have much to say. I'll leave you with a few words of wisdom. One, when you're being attacked by giant-ass robots, then the best line of defense is the big-ass robots that want to help. So don't evict their metal asses. Oh, wow, I just had a flashback to Bender, shiny metal ass. Got it. And also, if you're dating a Victoria's Secrets model that wants to completely take care of you, pay for everything, and still have sex, thank God, plug your nose, quit your bitching, and keep eating fish. That, ladies and gentlemen, is Rod's rants.
Oh, God.
He did give Witwicky a gun in this one.
Yeah, and he lost it like 30 seconds later.
Yeah.
I don't understand
why. He shoots it once and then loses it.
I don't understand why he doesn't
remember
have
him shooting the stupid thing.
I would never let one leave my side at this point. Like, I would always have, I would sleep with a freaking Mauser.
Yeah, by this point, it would be duct tape.
So the sad part is, anybody who knows what a Mauser actually is sitting there thinking, how would that work?
And Rod, I just got to point out, he's got better things to sleep with.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
In figurative terms, he is sleeping with a Mauser, but that's beside the point. All right, so
boss, but okay.
Next week we're doing 12 Monkeys, which basically means a whole lot of Bruce Willis ass and Brad Pitt's crazy eyes. The crazy eye effect was referenced in so many different things between 95 and 2005.
Mm-hmm.
But
I could too right now.
Anyway,
and that doesn't include 12 Monkeys.
And just for the record, we do apologize for our lapse and week that you're going to end up getting on this.
No, you're not.
Well, theoretically. I'm actually probably going to be editing right after we get off here.
Or you can send it to me and I'll edit it and throw it up tomorrow.
Or you could do that. But beyond that, we will have 12 Monkeys up on time for you. And all I have to say is I've already watched this movie, but now I'm going to go back and watch it with shrooms. Because that just seems
might make it better.
Yeah.
I already have my mental debuff for 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, no. 12 Monkeys is a mental debuff. I mean, it really is. Like, I'm not even trying to make a joke there. But, alright. So definitely join us next week for 12 Monkeys, because this is going to be an acid trip. Movies in the buff style. So, with that, I'm going to say keep watching those movies in the buff. You know it's just better that way, and good night, folks.
Night.
Hello, Buffers. It's your favorite host. I'm taking a second to let you know you can find us on Facebook and Google+, and have some absolutely naughty conversations with your other Buffers. And as always, if you need to talk or flirt with our team of debauchery, you can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com. That's 3 F's. Trust me, we love to talk to our fans, especially the good-looking ones. Movies in the Buff was recorded with Creative Commons, Attribution Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 U.S. License.